Verses 22 through 27 here this morning. Psalm 46 in verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." This is a truth that Paul is given 2 years to experience firsthand. He had to be still and wait. He's given the promise that he'll go to Rome, but he's wrongfully imprisoned in Caesarea and needs to wait. During his waiting, he makes sure to trust God and use the time for his glory. We don't have a whole lot of detail of what takes place during that time, other than really this section of Scripture. And so I think this is probably just an example of what was taking place during that 2-year holding pattern. And so if you want to follow along, starting in verse 22 of Acts 24. "But Felix, having a more exact knowledge about the way, put them off, saying, 'When Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will decide your case.' Then he gave orders to the centurion for him to be kept in custody and yet have some freedom, not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, 'Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you.' At the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to send for him quite often and converse with him. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege it is to look at your word. Lord, we ask that you would help us now as we look at this passage. Lord, we've all experienced times in our lives in which we're not able to do what we want to do. We're not able to go forward, and maybe we would say we're kind of stuck in a spot, and because of your providence, we're not allowed to do something different. But Lord, we so often squander those times away. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us as we consider this passage, we consider how Paul functioned during this time. Lord, that we would have renewed hope that even during those times where you tell us to be still, that we can know you better and that we can still serve you faithfully during those times. And so, Lord, we ask that you would work through this passage in our hearts and lives today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. On March 1st, 1985, the International News Network released the results of a survey taken the previous year in the United States workplace. The central conclusion focused on the finding that the average American worker wastes 9 weeks a year procrastinating. Any of those who are supervisors realize that's kind of annoying, isn't it? If you have workers like that, 9 whole weeks just by failing to do what needs to be done at the time it should be done. 9 weeks putting off decisions or delaying actions. Procrastination is also one of the major time wasters individually in our own personal lives. We might call it the Felix syndrome. The unwillingness to make a decision, even though it seems very clear what that decision should be. And that's where Felix is. He's just a procrastinator. He's just putting it off, and he's not concerned about Paul and just making a decision. And so we see in verses 22 and 23, trusting God during a holding pattern. So from what we know of history and what we see in this passage, at times, Felix is quite indifferent to how his actions affect other people. This time, it's Paul that is affected by Felix's indifference. As a result, Paul is basically in a holding pattern. in prison for no reason. Through it all, he needs to trust God that God will indeed keep his promise. And so in verse 22, trusting God when others are not in a hurry. You know, so many times we look at what other people are doing and we say, you know, this isn't quite fair. You're not in a hurry. You're not making these decisions on my behalf. But we have to understand that God is still sovereign. So have you ever found yourself in a position in which you're ready and willing to serve, maybe serve the Lord in some way, and you believe it's truly something that he wants you to do, yet maybe the powers that be are holding you back? Paul wants to go to Rome, and God has told him that he will go to Rome, but Felix is in no hurry. He's saying, no big deal, you're just going to stay here for now. And so Felix has a reasonable understanding of the Christian way. As we get into the text here, we learn a little bit more of Felix and his background. He knows very well that Christians are not political agitators. He knows that their faith is in Jesus Christ. He knows that they're looking to Jesus Christ for salvation. Paul already said that Felix was knowledgeable enough about the history of the Jews and now even the history of the Christians, so he could hear this case. He said that previously in basically his statements to Felix. Felix, not a nice guy, but at least he has some background. He understands the ways of the Jews and the ways of the Christians. Felix picked up also some information about Christianity, probably from his wife, who is privy to much of it since she's a Jew herself. And as we've talked about earlier, it was even mentioned by Tertullus, the lawyer, that kind of Christianity is, at this point, is considered a sect of the Jews. After hearing the case by Tertullus, the lawyer there for the Sanhedrin, and then hearing the defense of Paul, Felix decides to make them wait. Now, the word here translated, put them off, is a Greek word that only appears here in the New Testament. It means to postpone. And so he's just postponing things. How many times do you have something in life that you just want to get over with, and then it's postponed? Maybe it's a doctor's appointment that you're not looking forward to, and you got yourself finally psyched up, and you're getting ready that morning, and you get a call, the doctor's sick, and so they're not going to be in. It's going to be 3 months from now. Like, oh man, I got to wait longer. That postponement can be hard to deal with. And that's what comes at Paul here. Felix wants Lysias to come as a witness to this case. Now, he's already received the testimony of Lysias in a letter. It seems that Felix is giving this as his reason, though, for not making a decision at this point and dragging things out. Of course, as we see later in the passage, hoping to make some money out of Paul. Now, there's no record of Felix ever sending Lysias any type of letter and asking him to come and to clarify the situation, and there's no report of Lysias ever coming to Caesarea. Now, some have suggested, which I don't know that we have proof for this either, that Felix actually sent a letter to Lysias and told him not to come to Caesarea. Because if he doesn't come, then there's opportunity for Felix to possibly make some money off of Paul. Felix claims that he wants all the information so he can make a wise decision on the matter. But that doesn't really seem to be his heart. The delay on the part of Felix would be, for some, seem legitimate. So they're not going to question him, at least at first. Probably, though, after some months, they start to be a little suspicious of Felix. But does anybody say anything to him? Remember his reputation. It's such that if you oppose him, he'll probably execute you. And so you're not going to say anything. Maybe some of Paul's friends would have been bold enough to say something, but Felix is probably just going to shrug them off because they're nobodies and they really don't have any authority over him. And so then we get into verse 23 and we see trusting God when friends come to help. And so Paul is given, maybe we would even call this a grace gift, that there's some friends that can come to visit him while he is in prison. And so he's held with some rather good accommodations. He's afforded some freedom, and probably, at least in part, because he is a Roman citizen. He's kept in a military prison, which is better than the normal public prison of that day. He has a soldier keeping watch over him, which some suggest that this is Felix's way of making sure that he's safe from the Jews stirring up another revolt and trying to kill Paul. And so he has soldiers right there guarding him at all times. For this 2-year period, there is a soldier possibly even chained to Paul at all times. And they would switch out every 6 hours. How many of those Roman soldiers do you think heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? And Paul's like, this is great. I'll stay in prison, not a problem. I get somebody new every day. Every 6 hours, I have somebody else to talk to. And I'm going to share the gospel with them. And if they don't want to hear it, well, they'll hear it secondhand when some of my friends come and I'll rehearse the gospel with them. And he's just going to keep doing it. And these guys are like, well, I'm getting paid. This is kind of my job, so I guess I have to listen. They might try to tune it out, but they're still going to hear it. While being chained to a soldier may not seem like a good time, for Paul, it is all in God's will. And he is sure to make most of this opportunity. And so he's allowed to see his friends, it seems like as much as he wants. He's free to have them come and visit anytime. There are several men that have traveled with Paul from Asia to Jerusalem, where he is taken into custody. That's mentioned earlier in Acts. We discussed several of those during a series on Wednesday evenings and how they interacted with Paul. And so some of those men are possibly still around. We can't be sure exactly who went then to Caesarea with him, but it seems like there would have been some, possibly Luke as well. Remember as well from chapter 21 and verse 8, Caesarea has become the home of Philip the Evangelist, one of the original deacons that we were introduced in chapter 6. And so Paul stopped and visited with Philip there in chapter 21 before getting to Jerusalem. And so very possible Philip would have been one of those that would have come to the prison and visit with Paul. Some even suggest that this is the time during which Luke starts gathering information about really all the things that he writes in the Gospel of Luke and up to this point in the book of Acts. And so would we say this 2 years was a waste? If really this is the time when Luke is able to do that. God knew exactly what he was doing. The timing is in God's hand. And so although Paul is in a holding pattern and is not able to continue on his way to Rome, God is at work giving him gospel opportunities with soldiers, with prisoners, with friends. He's able to interact with those friends, encourage them in their faith, possibly point them to areas of ministry that he knows, maybe even locally as others are coming in and talking to him. I can just imagine him saying, hey, Luke, there was this prisoner that I was talking to that was just released. I want you to go visit him. And then talking to another one of his friends, hey, I was talking to this soldier yesterday that was chained to me. I think maybe he's not interested, but his wife might be. Why don't you go visit him? I could just imagine Paul sending out his friends to gospel opportunities as he knows of those things coming up. And so this time is indeed a holding pattern, but it is understood as God's providentially arranging events to accomplish his purpose. May we see those holding patterns in our lives as divine arrangements that we can give God glory with our life of service. We don't want to get into one of those times where we're like, I'm not really sure what God's doing, but I know I feel stuck. Well, God is using that time as well. We see verses 24 and 25, then trust in God while heralding the gospel. And so we've discussed really Felix's demeanor toward other people and how he would eliminate basically anyone that got in his way. In these two verses, Paul boldly confronts Felix with the truth of the gospel. He does not shy away from addressing really some personal sin issues of Felix in this passage. And so I'm going to point out some of those things, and it really knowing a little of the history behind Felix and his wife will help with that. And so first of all, verse 24, trusting God when speaking of hope. Paul is speaking of hope. And so Felix's wife is introduced to us here, Drusilla. She has a Jewish background. And so after a period of time, we don't know exactly how long, Felix and Drusilla both go to visit Paul. Some have actually suggested that they were out of town on a trip, and now they're back and they go to meet Paul. While away, Felix may have told Drusilla about what had taken place with Paul. Obviously, her Jewish background, this is a Jewish man, this seems like a Jewish issue here coming up. And she possibly said, well, I want to know more. Can you take me to speak with him? It's quite possible that she wants to talk with Paul because she's familiar with the way and knows of several different times in which this group, believers, Christians, intersected with her family and the results. And so I want to review some of those. Her great-grandfather tried to kill Jesus in Bethlehem. In Matthew 2. Her great uncle killed John the Baptist and mocked Jesus in Luke 23. Her father initiated the killing of the apostle James, and then shortly thereafter, his body is eaten by worms as judgment from God in Acts 12. This is her family heritage. And so somebody that's basically the ringleader of this group of people, I want to talk to him. I want to know him. Now, Drusilla herself, just knowing a little bit of her own personal background, she's married through an arranged marriage at the age of 14. So I guess most of us would venture to say that's pretty young. And so because of her beauty, Felix notices her and determines he wants her to be his wife. And so that arranged marriage at age 14 was not with her, with Felix, it was with another man. And so according to historian Josephus, Felix hires a magician to help convince Drusilla to leave her husband and marry him at age of 16. Now we may look at this couple like this and determine they're beyond the reach of God's grace. We would look at that and we'd say, why does Paul even waste his time? But as Paul meets with them, he sees a couple that needs to hear about Jesus and his power to forgive sins. These are sinners, just like everyone else. We don't know how God is going to work in a heart, and we don't know which heart he is working in. We're simply to share of the truth of the gospel, of faith in Christ. And so we don't know any outcome with Felix and Drusilla, but we see a faithfulness on Paul's part to share the message of the gospel with them regardless. And so this couple, at least at first it seems, they're somewhat open to Paul's sharing with them about the gospel. Although being held captive in Caesarea, Paul is given some unique opportunities to share of faith in Christ. He meets with Felix and Drusilla, who again are very influential people. He shares of salvation through Jesus Christ alone. And then in verse 25, we see trust in God when speaking heroically. Paul's kind of, maybe we'd use the expression, going out on a limb here. His words cause Felix to think. As Paul is given an open door to speak, he does not keep his conversation light. He doesn't say, you know, what's the weather like today? Or what's going on down the street? What's the local gossip around town? The things that Paul talks about with Felix and Drusilla are things like their own sinful hearts, their need of a Savior, and the judgment that would come to those who reject Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what he's speaking about. Commentator John Stott said the following, "The lax morals of Felix and Drusilla help to explain the topics on which Paul spoke to them." And so Paul is addressing some very personal things going on in their lives. This is a powerful couple that if they decide Paul is offensive, they can have him executed. Yet God watches over him, gives him the boldness and freedom to speak of Christ. And so Luke records here of basically a three-point sermon of Paul to this couple. The first point, righteousness. The second point, self-control. And the third point, the judgment to come. While Luke does not tell us the details of all three of those points, I think we can gather somewhat more of what those details would have been like simply by other sermons that we see in the book of Acts and some of the writings of Paul and what he would speak on and say about these different topics. So as far as righteousness, he no doubt pointed out God's expectation for righteousness and holiness and the fact that one sin would mean that we cannot claim righteousness of our own accord. He then would have told them about the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ that is gifted to all those who repent of their sin and by faith trust the finished work of Christ. And so he would have explained to them sin. Now it's interesting, in 1973, a man by the name of Dr. Carl Menninger, who was considered one of the world's leading psychiatrists, published a book, Whatever Became of Sin is the title. He pointed out that the very word sin has gradually dropped out of our vocabulary. The word along with the notion. We talk about mistakes, weaknesses, inherited tendencies, faults, and even errors. But we do not face up to the fact of sin. Paul didn't have a problem with that. He didn't have a problem with addressing this couple. That author goes on and says this. He warns that should this concept of sin become eliminated from open culture discourse, any hope or thought of a moral society would inevitably vanish. He wrote that 50 years ago, I would say almost a little bit prophetically, because there is no such thing as sin in most of the world's eyes at this point. It's just all mistakes or something along those lines. Another writer, Phyllis McGinley, she said this, people are no longer sinful. She's an American writer and poet. She goes on and says, they are only immature and underprivileged or frightened or more particularly sick. But you know, a holy God demands righteousness. And so that's, in a sense, what we would say the bad news. Yet the good news is that same God has provided righteousness through Jesus Christ. And so that is the conclusion. He is our righteousness. Paul tells Felix and Drusilla that they need to stop trusting in themselves for happiness and turn to Christ and trust in him. No doubt Paul points out some of their sins to them. Their sins were obvious to all those who interacted with this couple. Yet Paul is probably the only one that's actually willing to point them out. I think he trust God's superior, maybe to some extent. God said, you're going to go to Rome. So Paul's, there's nothing you're going to do to me. God's watching over me. And so I'm going to be the spokesman that points you to faith in Christ. In Paul's second point, he tells them that they need to have self-control. I think he probably confronted Felix specifically about his lack of self-control that was really manifested as he manipulated the situation to have Drusilla as his wife. They need to trust the grace of God to help them not to live for themselves. Do whatever they think will help them build their own empire, their own prestige, their own wealth, but do what will please God. And then Paul's final point is that they needed to be ready for the judgment. If they refuse to accept the righteousness of Christ, to deal with their own unrighteousness, if they refuse to accept God's grace through Christ to live in a life in a way that would please God, then they're going to face judgment from God for their sins. We see that for at least Felix, the words of Paul really hit home. It says Felix is frightened, thinking that because of his sins, his unwillingness to repent of them and turn to Christ for salvation, that he will spend eternity in hell. And so if someone is frightened because of their sin, then they're getting a pretty good view of who God is. And so that's a good first step. The best we understand, Felix never continued in that walk, though. We see Felix will meet with Paul when it's convenient for him. And so at times he'll meet with him, other times he won't. Like so many others, when they're faced with the most important decision of their life, their response is kind of like, leave me alone, I don't want to talk about it. Too many people think if they just don't talk about something, it's magically going to work out on its own. And some will even say, well, time heals all wounds. Well, no, not necessarily. You talk through it. You think about it biblically. But time doesn't just automatically heal it. And so those who ignore the message of the gospel are still accountable to God. One of the greatest lies that people tend to believe is that they can put off responding to the gospel. But no response is ultimately rejection. Satan has convinced so many people to procrastinate. You know, we say this, why do today what you can put off till tomorrow, right? In reality, none of us are promised tomorrow. Then we see verses 26 and 27. Trusting God when handling of a matter is unjust. So Paul is familiar with unjust treatment. It seems everywhere he goes, he has to deal with people misunderstanding what he's saying or taking it and twisting it around to say something different. From beatings to being run out of town to imprisonment, he needs to trust God through every bit of it. And so verse 26, trusting God when others hunger for money. So Felix is hoping to make money off of Paul. Although it's illegal for Felix to take a bribe, kind of shows of what his character is like. He allows his power to go to his head, and he always wants more to come to him as far as material possessions. Chapter 24 and verse 17, Paul told Felix that when he came to Jerusalem, he brought money with him for the Jews there that were in need. And so it seems very possible that Felix thought, this guy has money. There's probably more money. He has access to more money. He can get to his friends. I think it's probably part of the reason why Felix said, let his friends come in. His friends will bring him in some money, and I'll get some money from him. And he's hoping to kind of tap into that amount of money coming through. Remember, Paul is able to receive visitors. He's able to have that interaction. And so it seems like this is Felix's mindset. As long as Paul is able to be here and he has friends coming, they're going to bring money in. I'm going to get some money out of him. But Felix gives Paul many opportunities to bribe him. And it doesn't seem like it ever happens. Felix really has... It doesn't seem like any interest in spiritual things. He's repeated interaction with Paul, hoping simply that Paul is going to try to bribe him for his freedom. Paul would never stoop to that level. And then verse 27, trusting God when others harm for no reason. And so Festus here replaces Felix as governor, and Lord willing, we'll get into a little more of that interaction with Festus next week. And so Paul has spent 2 years in prison because of false charges. He continually trusts that God is going to get him to Rome like promised. Josephus commends Festus as a much more honorable man than Felix. He's not as experienced with the Jews. He's really not as experienced at all. But he's concerned with making sure that Roman law is upheld. And so maybe this will be a better situation for Paul. Felix wanted to make sure the Jews liked him. That was his concern. Ironically, he didn't do a very good job of that. He was removed from his position because there's a fight between the Jews and the Gentiles. They each are basically saying, we're in charge, we own the city. And Felix used soldiers to assure that the Jews were defeated in that situation. And as a result, a lot of the Jews said, we're really upset about this. We're going to go to Rome. We're going to complain about Felix in Rome. And so Felix is brought to Rome, and he faces charges. And according to history, Felix's brother Paulus came to his defense before Nero, and that's really the only reason that Felix got off and didn't face very severe punishment. And so he simply removed from his position, replaced with Festus. Through all of this, Paul remains in prison, although he committed no act deserving of prison. Felix has a foolish attitude toward his sins. He knows that he is a sinner, yet he refuses to repent of his sins and trust Christ alone for salvation. He has a foolish attitude toward God's grace. The Lord has been patient toward Felix, yet the governor will not surrender. Felix is not sure of another day's life, yet he foolishly procrastinates. He's just unconcerned. And so are you trusting God through every circumstance of life? We see that Paul is. This is not necessarily something that we would put up there maybe as the top 10 places we'd like to spend 2 years is in prison. Paul said, you know, I'm going to live here the same way I would anywhere else. I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to basically function the same place no matter where I am, because God is the one that should get the glory. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for the example that we see here of Paul. Lord, we do think of those around us, Lord, that are so much procrastinating when it comes to trusting in Christ for salvation. Lord, we ask that you would give us boldness, much like Paul, to speak of faith through Christ. And Lord, we ask that you would open hearts and bring souls to salvation. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.